Om Ganah Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, and He saved me from the deepest of ignorance and the depths of depravity with the torchlight of knowledge. How do you like that translation? Anyway, so now we are going to go ahead with our reading of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The last two nights we've been talking about the Mahabharat war, or the events of the Mahabharat leading up to the war, because it was the Gita Jayanti time. And so we're going to go back to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're still reading from chapter 4 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which deals with the esoteric reasons for the Lord's advent. And so here we go. And we're going to start with the verse from the Brahma Sanghita that details different aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda. And here we go. All right, and let's see if we'll have time to allow some of you to assist with the reading. Let's see. And anyone who wants to assist, you can keep your hands raised in the participants window, not in your video. So Champaka is the first. Okay, text 72. In the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavita bhishta bhirya hiva nijarupatayat kalabi go loke vinika vashat chakilat mabuto go vendhamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure, and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rus. This text is from the Brahma Sanghita, 5th chapter, text 37. I just want to mention one thing that we don't usually hear. Okay. So, one thing is, there's a part of this verse, Goloka Vinivashati Gyatma Bhuta, which actually states that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but he's also everywhere simultaneously. Simultaneously everywhere with his energy and different expansions, but in his personal form, he never leaves Vrindavan. And he's always associated with Srimati Radharani, who is has the resembles his own spiritual figure. That means she also is a Satchidananda Vigraha, and who manifests or embodies the Ladini Shakti. Remember we talked about the Sambit, Sandini, and Ladini Shaktis? The cognitive potency, Sambit, Sandini, the existential potency, and of course Ladini, the pleasure potency. And her companions, talking about the Ashtashaki, the eight principal gopis surrounding Srimati Radharani, are actually direct expansions of Srimati Radharani and are not jiva souls like us. So, Krishnara Karaya Niyache Rasa Ashvadan Kridara Sahayache Shunavivaran. Now please listen to how Krishna's, Lord Krishna's consort, help him taste rasa, and how they help in his pastimes. Wow, this is very elevated subject matter. Krishna kanta gana deki trivira prakara ekalakshmi gana pure mahisha gana hara rajangana rupahara kanta gana sar Shiradikahite Kantaganera Vishtar. The beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are three kinds: the goddesses of fortune, which worship Krishna in the mood of awe and reverence; the queens, a little less awe and reverence, but practically there is awe and reverence; and the milkmaids of Braja, who don't have that awe and reverence towards Krishna, who are the foremost of all these consorts, and these consorts all proceed from Radhika. In other words, all of Krishna's eternal potency consorts are expansions of Srimati Radharani. Whoops. Avatari Krishna Yaiche Kara Kare Avatar Amshini Radha Haite Tina Ganera Vishtar. Just as the fountainhead, Lord Krishna is the cause of all incarnations, so Sri Radha is the cause of all these consorts. Vaivavagana Kyena Tanna Anga Vibhuti Bimba Pratibimba Rupa Mahishira Tati. Goddesses of fortune are partial manifestations of Srimati Radhika, and the queens are reflections of her image. Wow. Let me explain what that means. So the queens are specific. The queens of Vrindavan, the queens of Dwarka are specifically one to one, or they have a one-to-one correspondence with each and every gopi in Vrindavan. For example, Radharani one-to-one corresponds with Satyabhama, and that's brought out in the Lalita Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami. And then, of course, you have Chandravali, whose one-to-one correspondence expands as Rukmini. And the other gopis expand in the same way. And the goddesses of fortune are just partial manifestations of Srimati Radharani. So let's go on. Lakshmi Gana Tandra Vai Bhava Vila Samshi Rup Mahishi Gana Vai Bhava Prakasha Sarupa Swarup, sorry. The goddesses of fortune are her plenary portions, and they display the forms of Vai Bhava Vilas. The queens are of the nature of her Vaibhava Prakash. Akara Swabhava Bede Raja Devi Gan Kaya Vyuha Rupa Tanra Rasera Karan. The Braja Devis have diverse bodily features. They are her expansions and are the instruments for expanding Ras. Bahukanta Lila Nahi Rasera Ulas Lilara Sahaya Lagi Bahuta Prakash. Without many consorts, there is not such exaltation in Ras. Therefore, there are many manifestations of Srimati Radharani to assist in the Lord's pastimes. You know, variety, as they say, as Prabhupada said, is a mother of enjoyment. So without variety, there's no happiness. So this infinite variety of consorts that Krishna has, infinite variety of friends that Krishna has in different moods. Just like in this world, people are not just like cookie cutter images of everybody else. Everybody looks different to a certain extent. I mean, even identical twins, once you get to know them, they actually look different. Taramadye Braje Nana Bhavarasa Vede Krishna ke karaya rasadika ilashvade. Among them are various groups of consorts and brides who have varieties of sentiments and mellows. They help Lord Krishna taste all the sweetness of the rasa dance and other pastimes. Purport. As already explained, Krishna and Radha are one and two. They are identical. Krishna expands himself in multi-incarnations in plenary portions like the Purushas. Purushas means, basically, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and Shiradakshay Vishnu. They're portions of plenary portions. Similarly, Srimati Radharani expands herself in multi-forms as the goddesses of fortune, the queens, and the damsels of Braja. Such expansions from Srimati Radharani are all her plenary portions. All these womanly forms of Krishna are expansions corresponding to his planetary expansions of Vishnu forms. In other words, each and every manifestation, expansion, Vishnu tattva expansions we're talking about right now, has its corresponding consort. Wow. Just like you have Lakshmi Nrsimha, Lakshmi Narayan, Lakshmi Kurma. These expansions have been compared to reflected forms of the original form. There's no difference between the original form and the reflected forms. The female reflections of Krishna's pleasure potency are as good as Krishna himself. Let me explain that so you understand. Radharani, when she expands, it's like Krishna's expansions. What do I mean? Advaita Chuta Anadir Ananta Rupam Adyam Purana Purusham Nava Yovanam Cha. What does that mean? That each and every one of Krishna's expansions is Krishna in a different mood. It's the same person in a different mood. So each and every one of Radha's expansions is Radharani in a different mood. That's why when Prabhupada said we should worship the Radha and Krishna deities on the altar in the mood of Radharani, then Radharani manifests a different mood because we are not on the level at this particular point to engage in Raghunuga Bhakti when we're doing deity worship. And even if we were, we wouldn't do it because that would set a bad example for others. So the plenary expansions of Krishna's personality are called Vaibhava Vilas and Vaibhava Prakash. And Radharani's expansions are similarly described. The goddesses of fortune are her Vaibhava Vilas forms. And the queens are her Vaibhava Prakash forms. In other words, more direct. The personal associates of Radharani, the damsel of Braj, are direct expansions of her body. It's different. As expansions of her personal form and transcendental disposition, they are agents of different reciprocations of love in the pastimes of Lord Krishna under the supreme direction of Srimati Radharani in the transcendental realm. This is very high philosophy that's going on right here. Try to at least appreciate it, even if you don't understand all the details. In the transcendental realm, enjoyment is fully relished in variety, which is what I said before. Now remember, previously we were talking about how Krishna consciousness is not a sexist religion or philosophy. Because the Supreme Absolute Truth has male aspect and female aspect. It's well balanced, or Krishna is well balanced, or the Supreme Absolute Truth is well balanced. The exuberance of transcendental mellows, that means the ecstasy or the jumping up and down in ecstasy, is increased by the association of a large number of personalities similar to Radharani, or also known as gopis. Or sakis. Sakis means friends. Friends to Radharani or girlfriends to Krishna. The variety of innumerable mistresses in relationship to Krishna is a source of relish for Sri Krishna. And therefore, these expansions from Srimati Radharani are necessary for enhancing the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. In other words, Radharani expands herself to reflect the specific moods of Krishna to give pleasure to Krishna. And that is included in Krishna's various incarnations. Well, let's say, better than the word incarnations, expansions. Their transcendental exchanges of love are the super excellent affairs of the pastimes of Vrindavan. By these expansions of Srimati Radharani's personal body, she helps Lord Krishna taste the rasa dance and other similar activities. Srimati Radharani, being the central petal of the Rasa Leela flower, is also known by the names found in the following verses. Wow, now we're going to hear some of the names of Radharani. This is so amazing. So amazing. I don't even know if I can give someone else the opportunity to read these. Oh, I'll read one or two of them. Govinda Nandini Radha Govinda Mohini Govinda Sarvashra Sarvakanta Shiromani. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she's also the enchantress of Govinda. She's the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all of his consorts. Devi Krishna Mai Prokta Radhika Para Devata Sarva Lakshmi Mai Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of God. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. That means the original. This text is from the Brihad Gautamiya Tantra. Okay, so let's let Champagalata read a little bit now. You are officially allowed to unmute yourself now.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Gurudev.
I think you need to be... I think you need to be a little... Well, maybe I just need to have my volume up a little bit. Okay, go ahead.
Devi kahi dyotamana parama sundari Kimva Krishna Puja Kridara Vasati Nagari. Devi means resplendent and most beautiful, or else it means the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna. Krishna Mai Krishna Yara Bitare Bahire. Yanha yanha netra pada pade tanha Krishna spure. Krishna Mayi means one who's within and without our Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Kimba prema rasamaya Krishnera swarupa tanra shakti tanra saha haya ekarupa. Or Krishna Mayi means that she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Purport. Krishna Mayi has two different imports. First, a person who always thinks of Krishna both within and without, and who always remembers only Krishna wherever he goes or whatever he sees, is called Krishna Mayi. Also, since Krishna's personality is full of love, his loving potency, Radharani, being non-different from him, is called Krishna Mayi. Krishna Vancha Purti Rupa Kare Aradhane Ataiva Radhika Nama Purane Vakhane. Her worship, Aradhana, consists of fulfilling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Puranas call her Radhika. Purport. The name Radha is derived from the root word Aradhana, which means worship. The personality who excels all in worshiping Krishna may therefore be called Radhika, the greatest servitor. Anaya Radhito Nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara Yanno vihaya Govinda Prito Yam Anayadraha. Truly, the personality of Godhead has been worshipped by her. Therefore, Lord Govinda, being pleased, has brought her to a lonely spot, leaving us all behind. Report, this text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30-28. Ataiva sarva puja parama devata sarva palika sarva jagatera mata. Therefore, Radha is parama devata, the supreme goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. Sarvalakshmi Shabda Purve Kariyachi Vyakhyana Sarvalakshmi Ganeratinho Hana Adishtana. I have already explained the meaning of Sarvalakshmi. Radha is the original source of all the goddesses of fortune. Kimba Sarvalakshmi Krishnera Shadvida Aishwarya Tanra Adishtatri Shakti Sarva Shakti Varya. Or Sarvalakshmi indicates that she fully represents the six opulences of Krishna. Therefore, she is the supreme energy of Lord Krishna. Sarvasundarya Kanti Vaishayanhate Sarvalakshmi Ganera Shobha Hayayanhate. The word Sarvakanti indicates that all beauty and luster rests in her body. All the Lakshmis derive their beauty from her. Kimba Kanti Shabde Krishnera Sabha Icha Kahe Krishnera Sakala Vanchara Dattairahe. Kanti may also mean all the desires of Lord Krishna. All the desires of Lord Krishna rest in Srimati Radharani. Radhika Karena Krishnera Vanchita Purana Sarvakanti Shabdira Ei Artavivarana. Srimati Radhika fulfills all the desires of Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of Sarvakanti. Jagat Mohana Krishna Tanhara Mohini Ataiva Samastera Parata Kurani. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Radha Purna Shakti Krishna Purna Shaktiman Dui Vastu Beda Nai Shastra Paramana. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures.
Okay, all right, then we'll end there. And of course, these are all descriptions of Srimati Radharani. And so we'll let Rishikesh go next, since he hasn't got much of a chance to recite. So you can unmute yourself now, Rishikesh. I gave you permission. If you have your hand up, okay.
Mrigamada Taraganda Yaiche Avacheda Agni Jwalate Aiche Kabu Nahi Beda. They are indeed the same, just as a musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are non-different. Radha Krishna Aiche Sada Eka Aiswaruba Lila Rasa Ashwadite Dhara Dui Rupa. Thus Radha and Lord Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. Prema Bhakti Sikaite Apane Avatari Radha Bhava Kanti Dui Angikara Kari Shri Krishna Chaitanya Rupe Kaila Avatar Aite Pancham Panchama Shlokera Artha Prachar. To promulgate the Prema Bhakti, devotional service and love of God, Krishna appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya with the mood of complexion of Sri Radha. Thus I have explained the meaning of the fifth verse. Chastas Lokera Artha Karite Prakash Prathame Kahye Se Slokera Abhas. To explain the sixth verse, I shall first give a hint of its meaning. Avatari Prabhu Pracharila Sankirtan Ai Bhaya Hetu Purve Karayachi Suchan. Lord came to propagate Sankirtan. That is an external purpose, as I have already indicated. Avatera ara eka aiche mukhya bija rasika sikhara krishnera sai karya nija. This is the principal cause of Lord Krishna's appearance. It grows from his own engagements as the foremost enjoyer of loving exchanges. Ati gada hetu, good, I can say. Ati gada hetu si trividha prakara, damodara sarupa haite yahara prachar. That most confidential cause is threefold. Sarup Damodar has revealed it. Sarupa Goshani Prabhava Sarupa Goshani Prabhara Ati Antaranga Tahate Janena Prabhura E Sabha Prasanga. Sarup Goshani is the most intimate associate of Lord. He therefore knows all these topics well. Purport. Prior to the Lord's acceptance of the renounced order, Purushottam Bhattacharya, a resident of Navadvip, desired to enter the renounced order of life. Therefore, he left home and went to Banaras, where he accepted the position of Brahmacharya from Mayavadi Sannyasi. When he became a Brahmachari, he was given the name Sri Damodar Sarupaha. He left Banaras shortly thereafter without taking sannyas, and he came to Nilachal Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya was staying. He met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there and dedicated his life for the service of the Lord. He became Lord Chaitanya's secretary and constant companion. He used to enhance the pleasure potency of the Lord by his grace only, that all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya could know the real purpose of the Lord. Sarup Damodar has been identified as Lalita Devi, the second expansion of Radharani. However, text 160 of Kavi Parnapura's authoritative Gaura Gunadesha Dupika describes Sarupa Damodara as the same Vishakha Devi who serves the Lord in Golok Vrindavan. Therefore, it is to be understood that Sri Sarup Damodar is a direct expansion of Radharani, who helps the Lord experience the attitude of Radharani. Radhikara Bhana Murti Prabhara Antara Sai Bhave Sukha Dukha Uthe Nirantara. The heart of Lord Chaitanya is the image of Sri Radhika's emotions. Thus, the feelings of pleasure and pain arise constantly therein. Purport. Lord Chaitanya's heart was full of feelings of Srimati Radharani, and his appearance resembled hers. Sarup Damodar has explained his attitude as Radha Bhava Murti, the attitude of Radharani. One who engages in sense gratification on the material platform can hardly understand Radha Bhava. But one who is freed from the demands of sense gratification can understand it. Radha Bhava must be understood from the Goswamis, those who are actually controller of the senses. From such authorized sources, it is to be known that the attitude of Srimati Radharani is the highest perfection of conjugal love, which is the highest of the five transcendental mellows, and it is the complete perfection of love of Krishna. This transcendental appearance can be understood on two platforms. One is called elevated, another is called super elevated. The loving affairs exhibited in Dwarka are elevated forms. The super elevated position is reached in the manifestation of the pastimes of Vrindavan. The attitude of Lord Chaitanya is certainly super elevated. From the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an intelligent person engaged in pure devotional service can understand that he always felt separation from Krishna within himself. In that separation, he sometimes felt that he had found Krishna and was enjoying the meeting. The significance of this separation and meeting is very specific. If someone tries to understand the exalted position of Lord Chaitanya without knowing this, he is sure to misunderstand it. One must first become fully realized. Otherwise, one may misidentify Lord as Nagara or the enjoyer of damsels of Vraja, thus committing the mistakes of Rasa Bhasa, overlapping understandings.
Okay. All right, thank you, Rishikesh. You can end here, and then I'll just say a few things. So the last points made by Srila Prabhupada in the purport are extremely important. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, of course, as mentioned previously, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, but not only is he in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he is in the mood of Srimati Radharani experiencing separation from Krishna, intense separation from Krishna. And in that mood of intense separation from Krishna, something arises called Divyonmada. That means transcendental madness. As we hear later, we will hear later on when we read the final portion of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes do things that would be considered by ordinary, under ordinary vision, to be completely crazy. For example, sometimes he would run into the ocean without the devotees seeing him, and he would have to be brought back by a fisherman. And when he was brought back by a fisherman, this is a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Anjalila, his limbs were extended like three or four times the normal limbs. And when the devotees chanted Hare Krishna to him, he came back into his normal form. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would run after a sand dune, considering that to be Govardhan Hill. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bang his head on the floor, the walls of the Gambira, feeling such great separation from Krishna, and the devotees had to arrange for someone to be with him 24/7 to prevent him from doing that. So the specific mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not one of Krishna enjoying, but of Radharani, let us say, experiencing the intense mood of separation from Krishna, feeling the highest intensity at every moment. So in, we understand that, then we can understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can also understand why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the most munificent, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami. Namo Mahabda Nyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gordit Senamaha. Rupa Goswami says, Lord Chaitanya, you're the most munificent, and you're distributing love of God freely. And he's the most munificent for several reasons. One is that he's in the mood of Radharani, who was more compassionate than Krishna. She's the feminine counterpart of the Supreme Lord. And that's one reason. Another reason is that he's so mad in transcendental ecstasy, dina, hina, yata, chilo, hrinam, udurilo. He doesn't distinguish who is a fit candidate, who is not a fit candidate, as we'll read later on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The panchatattva, that means Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Srivas, and Gadadhara Pranda Goswami, broke open the storehouse of love of God and distributed it freely to everyone. When they saw that no one was willing to pay the price for love of God, what is the price for love of God? Sarvadhamam parichaja mamekam sharanam braja. That means giving your heart and everything to Krishna and trusting Krishna 100% and having no separate interests other than the interests of Krishna. And being meek and humble, understanding Krishna is always protecting one, always maintaining one. And accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable. People weren't willing to do that. So they broke open the storehouse of love of God, distributed the holy name freely in ecstasy. So all one needs to do is dina hina yakta chilo harinam udurilo, to chant the holy names. And before you chant the holy names, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You chant the panchatattva Maha Mantra, the Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Binda. And this Panchatattva Ma Mantra is the key that opens up the storehouse of love of God and enables you to taste the highest nectar, the nectar for which you were always anxious. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. Okay, so now we will take some questions from different devotees. So okay. I think it's important. Let me unmute everybody or give you the ability to unmute yourselves. Okay, who has a question? Yes, Rishikesh.
I have a question that it says that one must be fully realized before understanding Lord Chaitanya. So a That's person right. like That's me, right. who is not fully self-realized, how do I understand him?
Well, first you have to go to the Vaikuntha planets. That's an inside joke. Don't worry about it. That is.
Just I understand. I love it.
That's just a humorous comment.
I know you will.
Okay. How can you understand it? You can understand it theoretically right now, and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, as you become more self-realized, you'll gradually understand it more and more. You won't have complete realization until you're completely Krishna conscious. Vishaya Acharya Kabi Shudahabi Ma Kabi Hama He Rabo Sri Vrindavana. When you have a completely purified heart and mind. But this gradual understanding, theoretical understanding we can have now. I mean, for example, we all understand theoretically what? We're not the body. Hopefully you understand that. You're not the body. But practically, when you go to a dentist, I don't think you have that realization. when you're at a dentist, I am the body. I am the body. Ah! Like that. So, and especially two things. When there's pleasure and pain, you want to be the body. You identify with the body. When there's pleasure, you want to be the body. Let's say if there's something really tasty for you to eat, you think, wow, I'm glad I'm identifying with the body. And then when there's something bad, then you're unhappy, you're identifying with the body. But in any case, we understand theoretically that we're not the body. So we understand theoretically these truths about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And realization comes gradually, like the sun comes up in the morning and gradually you see shadows, you see black and white images, and eventually you see everything in full color, the full forms of everything. So it is a gradual, like Prabhupada said, a gradual process. It's not all or nothing that one day, you know, you just get a punch in your mouth and you someone turns on the lights all of a sudden, boom, like that. Oh, hello, Krishna. But it's gradually, and sometimes you get a little taste of things along the way, coming attractions. But theoretically, yes, you can understand. There's two things. There's jnana and vijnana. Vijnana means practical experience. Sometimes Prabhupada translated vijnana to science, which is really interesting. Because in science, you're supposed to do an experiment. And based upon your experiment, you perceive certain results. So that's vijnana. Let's use the example of science, like Prabhupada did. Like theoretically, we know that what? Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen makes water. That's jnana. Now, I've never done it. Maybe I have when I was in school. But anyway, let's say theoretically, I've never done it. I've never put together hydrogen and water to see if they're hydrogen and oxygen, sorry, to get water. But then one day, let's see if I do it. Of course, you got to be careful when you're doing it because if you put the wrong proportions together, you get an explosion. It's one thing I learned in chemistry class. I had a lot of explosions. So let's say you put them both together and then you get water and you produce water. That's vijnana. That's science. That's what Prabhupada actually terms science to be vijnana or realization. He didn't think speculation was science, where people would just or use the inductive method to try to come up with a certain theory or a certain proposition. He considered science to be where you actually get a result. So Krishna consciousness is science. So anyway, so now you got jnana, and if you want vijnana, complete vijnana, you have to be completely purified. All right?
Yes, Gurudev. And just one last question, Gurudev. Once we go to the spiritual world, become a maid servant, say, for example, if a person from a conditioned stage go to the Goloka, if he gets a maid servant, of Radharani. Then does he become an expansion of Radharani, or how does it work?
No, no, no. You always remain Jiva soul. You serve the expansions of Radharani. But you don't have to worry about, I mean, a maidservant, you know, you're going to be in the Vaikuntha planets, and you're going to get Sarupa Mukti. You get it. You'll either look like Lakshmi or Lord Vishnu.
Something is better than nothing, Gurudev.
Yeah, something is better than nothing. And I'll look down and see you one day, you know. I go to the planet. No, actually, I'm just joking, of course. So, yeah, you become a servant of those devotees who are Shaktis. We're not Paraprakriti. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Shetrak Yakitata Para Vidyakarma Sandhyanya Tritya Shakti Ishate. We are the marginal potency of the Lord. There's three basic categories of the Lord's potencies. The Paraprakriti, which of course is headed up by Radharani, who is the manifestation of the Ladini Shakti, or manifests the Ladini Shakti. Then there's the Apara Prakriti, which is the material energy, which is also an expansion, ultimately, of the Para Prakriti, which is interesting. Like we say, Durga actually is an expansion of Lakshmi, in a very real sense, or I mean, Lakshmi expands as Yogamaya, like that. And then, so Radharani is the Adi Shakti of the Lord. All the Shaktis expand, ultimately, they're expansions of expansions of expansions of expansions of expansions from Srimati Radharani. But we're not like that. We are Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We're expansions of Krishna. And actually, it's specifically mentioned that Baladev manifests. We're actually manifested by Baladev, or expansions of Baladev, which is the same thing. I mean, when you're talking about expansions of Krishna and Baladev, they're the same person. Advaita Chuta Nadi Rananta Rupam Ajam Purana Purasham Navayovanam Cha. But we're not Vishnu Tattva expansions. We're Vivyanamsha, which means Jiva Tattva expansions. And so we can be influenced or covered by the external potency of the Lord, avidyakarma sangyanya tritya shakti ishate. So that's our nature. No, you do not become shakti tattva. Unfortunately, Rishikesh, you remain jiva tattva eternally. Jiva tattva, jiva bhuta mahabho, baho, yedam daryate jagat. You are eternally jiva tattva, nicho nichanam chaitana chaitananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kamam. And I'm eternally a jiva tattva. But some jiva tattvas are nichasiddha devotees, like Srila Prabhupada. You can become sadhan siddha, and of course, also Kripa Siddha. We're all, in one sense, at least partially Kripa Siddha, because we get our Kripa, or our mercy, from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and His followers. But we get our Kripa because we're doing the sadhana. You know, you can't say, you know, I want some free Kripa. You know, sometimes people think, like Prabhupada gave the example, that someone may think they're going to get an honorary degree from a certain university, an honorary doctorate. That doesn't usually occur, that you get an honorary doctorate from a particular university. You usually have to go and study and get your doctorate. So that's something like complete Kripa Siddhi. But actually, we're all getting Kripa Siddhi because basically whether we deserve to be Krishna conscious or not is an open question. According to our desires, according to our past karma, what we deserve is less desirable, but by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. But we've done something to deserve the mercy, or to accept the mercy. Let's say we haven't done anything to deserve the mercy, but we've done something to accept the mercy, therefore the mercy has come to us. Mercy is equal. Krishna says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti napriya. Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone. I don't have any special friends. I don't have any special enemies. But one who renders service to me is in me, and that particular person gets special mercy. So it's really special mercy or causeless mercy. It's not really without cause that you get the mercy. Maybe you don't fully deserve it, but you've done something to accept it. You're ready for it. It's not that, you know, one person gets the mercy just because, you know, Krishna decided to give him causeless mercy, and another person doesn't give it because Krishna decided not to give him causeless mercy. Everyone gets the mercy, but some people are ready for it, some people are not. All right, so we got one more person can ask a question tonight. Oh, Krishna Priya, you have your hand up.
Yes, Gurudev, please accept my obeisances. So I had a question that came to me when, can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine.
Good. I had a question that came to me when we were reading about Lord Chaitanya's deep separation in the mood for Srimati Radharani. And yeah. Then we know in the later chapters, as you're referring to like the different pastimes that took place in the Gambira. And so I had one thought that came to me, which was a question. We know we're told like the external reason that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves, Lord Chaitanya sends that like letter and Advaitacharya tells him it's time, you know, he's done his what he's meant to do. It's time to wind up. So then I was also wondering, does it get to a point with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, do the acharyas ever speak about it, that his mood of separation was so intense that he just couldn't stay any longer, that he had to leave?
Yes. it just gets so intense that it's unbearable. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time was said, in a sort of a pedantic way to teach, pedantic means teaching, he said, if I had any love for Krishna, how could I live? And so his leaving this world was the supreme act of Vipralamba Seva, because he actually entered into the deity of Tota Gopinath. And of course, you know that story, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Tota Gopinath deity was being taken care of, incidentally, by Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya just marched into the deity room and disappeared into the deity. I went into the deity, and there was a golden streak on the deity's thigh that commemorates or illustrates Lord Chaitanya entering. And then Gadadhar Pandit Goswami also entered into the deity room. It's not said that he went to the deity, but he entered into the deity room, and he actually disappeared in that particular way. So, yes, it was the supreme act of Vipralamba. He couldn't exist anymore. Because actually, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes went on, then he became more and more transcendentally, I don't want to use the word, mad, yeah, divyamada. More and more transcendentally ecstatic, let's say. Because we don't want people to get the wrong impression. More and more transcendentally ecstatic, so he got little dangerous for him to be around, because we just couldn't bear the separation. I mean, sometimes you see, even in this world, that there's a couple who's married and one passes away, and the other one, without any other cause, passes away within a few hours after that the first one passes away. And now even in this COVID catastrophe, pandemic that we're experiencing, there's many stories about couples who were married for like 40 or 50 years and they both die of COVID within like 3 hours of each other. So this intense mood of love can cause even a conditioned soul to leave the body. What to speak of, well, of course, Lord Chaitanya didn't leave his body, but to leaving this world, yeah. I mean, And Lord Chaitanya's mood of love and separation from Krishna was much more intense than an ordinary conditioned soul separation from their beloved. And, you know, and actually you see the story of the Sati rite where the lady would voluntarily jump into the fire because she couldn't bear to live without her beloved. I mean, these are not forced acts. These are acts of intense separation, intense love. Nowadays, of course, you're hard-pressed, other than these instances that I just recited, you're hard-pressed to find instances where people are so attached to each other that they can't live without each other. And Prabhupada also commented, when the spiritual master passes away, the disciple should be ready to leave the world unless one is able to carry out the mission of the spiritual master. So this sort of intense love is a very rare thing, even materially. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited to the highest degree. I mean, and it got more intense as the years went on in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And so you're right, yes. At a certain point, it became too intense. And then also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got that message from Advaitacharya that, you know, your mission is accomplished, is you're a madman, everybody's become a madman, etc. like that. And then it's time to leave. You know, one madman is saying it to another madman, like that. So, okay, so there's another question. There's two other questions in the, three other questions in the chat window. Does it have to be gradual? No, that's up to you. There's another question is Srila Rupa Goswami Shakti Tattva? No, he's Jiva Tattva. He's a Manjari Gopi assistant. Lord Chaitanya Peacock Feather? Yes, it is okay to have Lord Chaitanya Peacock Feather because sometimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I know that's controversial, but sometimes Prabhupada allowed it and sometimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited himself as God when he sat down on the altar in the Mahaprakash Leela. And in other times, sometimes Lord Chaitanya would show that he was Krishna. So it's not completely wrong. Although when he was a sannyasi, he certainly didn't have a peacock feather. But as a householder, sometimes he would show himself to be God. You know, like sitting on the altar of Srivas Thakur and Srivas Thakur's Srivas Sangha. So certainly from time to time you can put a peacock feather on Lord Chaitanya. I know some people have said he can't, but you know, based on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we worship Lord Chaitanya as a householder when we worship him on the altar, so it is all right. And then, is it bona fide to worship Gaura Gadadhar? Certainly it is bona fide because it's done in the Gaudiya Math and it was done by Saraswati Thakur, but that's a very high form of worship. And the mood of worship of Gaura Gadadhar has not been taught to us nor shown to us by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So I would stick, personally, I would stick to worshiping the deities that Srila Prabhupada has instructed us to worship in the mood that Srila Prabhupada, I mean, Prabhupada is our Acharya. And certainly, I personally need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. You may not need Lord Nityananda's mercy. You may be a Mayavadi and not need Lord Nityananda's mercy, but I need Lord Nityananda's mercy. So it's important to do things in the mood of our Sampradaya Acharya. Even though, yes, it's all right to worship Gaura Gadadhar. There's nothing wrong, Bhaktivinoda Thakur worship Gaura Gadadhar. And there's so many instances of other devotees worshiping Gaura Gadadhar, and the Gaudiya Math certainly. But Prabhupada's mood was Gaura Nittai, because we need Lord Nityananda's mercy. And Narottama Das Thakur's mood was Gaura Nittai. You find that this is actually the mood of Lord Narottama Das Thakur's poems. And Prabhupada is directly following in the mood of Narottama Das Thakur. So, I would just stick with the types of worship that Srila Prabhupada did and Srila Prabhupada instructed us to do. I mean, you can worship other deities. I mean, you can worship Lord Varaha, Lord Kurma. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this. But Prabhupada specifically wanted us to worship Gaura Nithyananda because of the mercy. Aha, Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. Oh, my dear Lord Nityananda, you are very happy, but Ami Varo Dukhi, I am very unhappy. So please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet, Lord Nityananda. So, I don't know. I couldn't live without Lord Nityananda. I don't know about you. Anyway, I mean, I'm just Prabhupada's Shisha. That's my whole life is dedicated to Prabhupada's service, so I don't want to get into other things. I want to preach Krishna consciousness, not make life complicated, do things that Prabhupada didn't have us do. I mean, it's fine. We don't criticize someone who worships Gaura Gadadhar, but my mood is, you know, Prabhupada did something, and I'll just do it. And of course, there's many things Prabhupada didn't do that are all right to do, like Prabhupada didn't use a computer. I mean, it's not that the absence of evidence is the evidence of absence. That's a logical fallacy. So it's not that because Prabhupada didn't do something, you shouldn't do it. That's not the point. But there's a specific mood of worship that really connects us with Prabhupada. So there's no criticism of anybody who worships Gaura Gadadhar. But it's the specific mood of worship that I do that connects me with Prabhupada. Because focus of my devotional service is serving Krishna under Prabhupada's direction. That's also because I have a Jupiter in my first house, Lagna. And for those of you who don't know what that means, just consult your neighborhood astrologer and then you'll find out. But, you know, the guru is in the first house, so anyway. So that's very important. And Prabhupada had the same thing. Okay, on that happy note, we'll see everybody tomorrow. Same time, same station, all the way to Srila Prabhupada. Haribol.